In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As Jesus drew near, he saw the city of Jerusalem and wept over her, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It is very difficult to read Luke 19 and then to conclude the reading by saying, "This is the gospel of the Lord." Because to hear those words of sudden and swift destruction for impenitence and unbelief that would fall upon Jerusalem and her inhabitants is anything but good news. It is a word of severe judgment. The words of Jesus in the gospel for today turn upon this phrase, "If you had known in your day the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." If you had known the things that make for your peace. What are these things? Repentance for sin, renunciation of self, turning away from self-reliance to reliance upon God's mercy in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, these are the things that make for our peace. And when we consider the Old Testament children of Israel and their widespread impenitence and unbelief, we understand what Jesus is talking about when he uses Jerusalem as an example for the entire nation, which as a whole had lived in self-righteousness, pride, impenitence, unbelief, rejecting the Messiah who came to them. And so everything I am saying is the truth. The things that make for our peace are repentance, confession of sin, and faith in the Lord's Messiah. And it would be easy for us then to meditate upon the gospel this morning in this way. I thank God we're not like the Old Testament children of Israel. We know the things that make for our peace. We come and confess our sins. We come to receive the absolution and the supper of the Lord. All is taken care of. But I am struck this morning by the references to anguish and to sorrow of heart. For example, in the introit, "I call to God and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me." Why are these words from Psalm 55 in the introit for the 10th Sunday after Trinity assigned to this Sunday when we contemplate the widespread impenitence of Jerusalem and the children of Israel? What does the anguish within me have to do with their impenitence and unbelief. What is the point of connection for us? I want you to think about your own life. What is it that gives you a sense of self-worth? What is it that you strive for, that if you receive these things, then you'll be a person who is worthy of living? With your husband or your wife, your children. Is it not true that if we are not valued in our homes, in our families, in the workplace, or even within the church, we can get a deep sense of anguish of heart? I am not worth anything. Now, you might say to yourself, what does that have to do with the impenitence and widespread unbelief of the children of Israel in the Old Testament? For them, their self-worth was not about them being the objects of God's love, but for them, so often, their self-worth is, we're the descendants of Abraham. We've got this great bloodline. Look at the city of Jerusalem. Even during Holy Week, the disciples showed off the buildings there to the Lord Jesus as if he had never seen them before. So we think the things of our own making, in short, the things that we somehow have accomplished in our lives, this is what gives us worth. Which means, then, that self-righteousness has two sides to that coin. One side of the coin of self-righteousness is the notion, I trust in what I've accomplished, in my pedigree, in my nationality, in being a son or a daughter of Abraham, in having the great temple here in Jerusalem. But the other side of the coin is, if I have sinned, if I have weaknesses, if I have failings, if no one loves me on the basis of what I have accomplished in my life, in marriage, in family, in the workplace, and the church, then I am worthless. You see, that coin of self-righteousness is still about the same thing. A faith that relies upon oneself rather than the only one who truly makes for our peace. Let's face it, there are so many things in our lives that cause us anguish. As a pastor in my own vocation, I want to be liked by the congregation. I want to be appreciated for what it is that I do as the pastor in my teaching and in my preaching. But ultimately, if I rely upon those accomplishments or those achievements, as much as I'm called to be faithful in my office, or as you are called to be faithful in your office, to the extent that we rely upon these things, it can become a form of, dare I say it, idolatry. This week we begin another series of meditations upon the Catechism. First commandment, second commandment. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. At heart, in those commandments, the Lord is saying to us, trust me. Trust me, I am the God who loves you. It is my love that gives you value in your life. He says to us, you are the apple of my eye. I have created you, and though you, with all of the human race, turned away from me and fell into sin, my love for you did not stop. I gave my only begotten Son, who suffered and died for you. He is your righteousness, your life, and your salvation. Your worth is measured not on the basis of all of the many gifts that I have given you that you put into use, but your worth is measured on the basis of my forgiveness of my love, of my righteousness for you in my Son. That's what gives us worth. Yes, there is much anguish that can come into our lives. We are still beset with this struggle and this battle between faith on the one hand and unbelief on the other. That's why we gather here. We never gather here for God to pat us on the back for how wonderful we are or how many things we have accomplished, which was so often the case of Jerusalem and the children of Israel. Instead, we gather here to receive and to be comforted and to have our hearts and the trust of our lives redirected away from self-reliance or what other people think of us to the Lord Jesus, who visits us again and again and again, as he did the children of Israel, sending them prophet after prophet after prophet, not merely to proclaim the law to show them their sin, which they did, but to proclaim the law and to call them to repentance. Because at the heart, that message was, look, if you rely upon anyone but me, it will end in death and destruction, and you will have no peace. Only in me is there peace. Only in my love. Only in my sacrifice. Only in my righteousness that covers your sin. You are the apple of my eye, the object of my most ardent affection. You and I cannot produce this faith in our hearts. And that in itself is good news. The epistle for today, St. Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God that he comes to us again and again and again and again and again by a word of mercy and forgiveness to revive our faith, to strengthen our faith, to increase our trust and confidence in him alone, so that in the midst of the things of life that cause us the greatest heartache and disappointment, we might very simply find our sufficiency in Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus, can our heartfelt longings still. You see, as we begin another academic year in the academy, as we start another cycle of praying through the catechism, as we encounter all of the problems and the difficulties and the challenges of our lives and our own weaknesses that cause us anguish to our souls, remember, there is only one who makes for our peace. Jesus, the Son of God, your Savior, the one who loves you when no one else does, the one who forgives you when no one else will, the one who doesn't hold your sins against you but freely forgives, even though so many will never forget what it is that you've done or what it is that you've said. As far as the east is from the west, he says, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. This is the gospel of the Lord. This is what makes for your peace and for mine. What Christ has done and what he so freely gives to you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.